Hello there once again, and welcome to another Battle Site for Christ radio broadcast right here on the Just Jesus Network. It's a joy, it's a privilege, it's a blessing to be able to come into your homes once every week, Saturday morning at 9 a.m., and to bring you forth what God has laid on my heart. Oh, yes. I've got a good message for you today. And I pray you'll stay with me right through to the end. It's called The Good, The Bad, and The Book. The Good, The Bad, and The Book. Let's have a short prayer and then we'll get into the message. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity you've given me to bring forth this word that you placed on my heart, Lord. I ask, Lord, you would give me utterance. And I pray, Lord God, that when all is said and done, that your word will reach deep into the heart of mankind, Lord. And that it will find lodging there. And Lord, may you be lifted up and glorified because of it. For I pray in Jesus' wonderful name, for his sake. Amen. Okay, the good, the bad, and, oh no, not the ugly. The good, the bad, and the book. That's what it's all about, yes. Yes, sir, yes, ma'am, that's what it's all about. Do you compare Scripture with Scripture? Do you? Oh, well, if any man take away from the prophecies of this book, talking about this Bible, the Holy Bible, the King James Authorized 1611, that's what I use, nothing else. That, to me, is the Word of God. But if you take away from the prophecies of this book, then, well, what does the book say? I will take away his name out of the book of life. Ooh. So if you think that you can just pick and choose as you will from the King James, well, you better think again, you know, because you're on the wrong track. Now, I'm not saying that people can't get saved. I'm not saying that at all, that they can't get saved by not using the King James Bible. No, I'm not saying that. People have gotten saved all over the world without even having a Bible. But someone has come to them, reached out to them in a far-off land, perhaps. Young people, elderly people. And they've been brought into the presence of Christ simply because they believed in what the book, the holy and righteous book, has to say about their salvation. Oh, yes. When God reaches down and grabs onto the heart of mankind, oh, there's only two ways you can go. That's up or down. Up or down. And the choice is yours. The choice is you. You know, there's a warning goes out. What are we talking about here? What are we talking about? Where do we find these precious instructions and admonitions? Where do we find all these? Well, like I said, I alluded to, in the King James Authorized 1611 Bible. Yes. The one that says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, if you can't believe that, right at the very beginning, then guess what? You've got a problem, a real problem. And that's why I'm doing these messages. That's why I bring them into your home every Saturday morning. And you can get them on my website, tillycomes.net, Battle Site for Christ. It's loaded with all kinds of sermons that God has placed in my heart. I pray you'll take advantage of it, as you will. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Was God. Oh, my friends, yes, indeed. The Word was God. If they who are called by my name shall humble themselves, the word of God tells us, then shall I heal their land. Heal their land. Oh, yes. A lot of people make it's kind of like a reckless and vain attempt to water down and to dilute all and compromise the holy word of Almighty God. Oh, yeah. They'll say, oh, yeah, I believe that part, but that there, I don't know where that comes from. That's really not what God said at all. But he did say, you know, believe in me and, you know, you'll get saved. You know, there's funny ways that people have comprehending in this world today. They, you know what they're doing? They're trying to meet God somewhere in the middle. Instead of saying, that's your word, Lord. I believe your word. Lord, I repent and I believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's it. Case closed. I'm on my way to glory. Now help me, Lord. Strengthen me. Give me direction in this life. Oh, yes. Oh, Isaac and Jacob and Abraham. Well, they sure know what God has to say and why he chose them off the dust of the land. And one day you will understand too. One day you will, if you but open your heart to God Almighty and what happened at Calvary. God, you know, is the master of the universe. And he answers to your very heart's desire to want to know him better, to want to spend eternity with him in glory. You see, that he wants you there too. He wants you there too. You know, there is only one holy Bible. Everything else is nothing but a cheap imitation. There is only one God. Why would one God have more than one word, one Bible? Everything else is an abomination. There is only one way through the gates of heaven. All other ways lead to an eternal hell. Oh, that's a terrible thing to have to say, but it's true. Unless you go do it God's way, then you're doing it the wrong way. And the wrong way leads to an eternal hell. I believe that one true Bible that I'm speaking of is the authorized King James 1611. I believe that one God to be the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I believe that there's one way through the gates of heaven to be through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the only way into the presence of Almighty God. I believe because I am a sinner. You see, I am a sinner. And even though I believe, I'm still a sinner. But thanks to Jesus Christ and what he did at Calvary, my sins are all under the blood. And as long as I have repented and believed in what happened at Calvary, one day I'll stand before him. I'll stand before him. And he'll say, welcome. Welcome. Oh, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. Oh, when I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. I believe because I am a sinner saved by grace. The grace of God the Father through the precious shed blood of my Savior Jesus Christ. I believe that my body is the temple of God, in which dwelleth God the Holy Spirit. I believe because God's word tells me. The Spirit of God comes and indwells all those who believe in what Jesus did at Calvary. Oh, I love the Holy Spirit. I don't know what I'd do without him. I believe because once I was lost. And guess what? Now, and I pray you can say the same thing. Now I am found. Found. I believe that faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the word of Almighty God. I believe that Jesus Christ is the only way into glory. The only. There is no other way. No. Why do I believe? Because God's word says it's true. And God's word doesn't lie. No, sir. God's Word doesn't lie, and it doesn't change. The Word of God never changes. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. What does change, however, is the reader of the Word. The reader of the Word. That's you and me and everybody who preaches the Word. Because if we didn't change and do it God's way, then, well, God wouldn't be pleased, would He? Oh, no. There's only one way, and that's God's way. And God's way is by way of the cross. Way back when the Word of God was praised and set in a place of honor in most every household, when the Word was revered and used as the mainstay and guide to better living, when men and women suffered martyrdom to preserve and spread the good news of the gospel, when men of God guided the plow with one hand and held the Bible in the other. Oh, when prayer was not an appointed time, but all the time. You see, you can pray in everything you're doing throughout your work day even. I'm not saying that you just forget about what you're doing and you get lost in a moment of prayer. No. But there are times when you can, you know, if you can think about what's on at the movies tonight, you can think about what happened at Calvary a long time ago, can't you? Sure you can. When prayer was not an appointed time, but all the time. All the time. You got that? Always be in an attitude of prayer. Mums and dads lived by the good book way back then. Sister and brother obeyed its holy doctrine and never questioned its truth. Never questioned its truth. Oh, they might have come to mom and dad, you know, and said, I don't quite understand this. What does Jesus mean when he says this? Well, that's what we are for. The parents, the moms, and the dads, the elders, and the preachers, the pastors. That's what it's all about. We are ordained to explain God's Word so that there'll be no confusion whatsoever. Oh, yes, we are. We are indeed. Oh, the Bible 100 years ago was the unmerited grace and final authority of Almighty God. It was one book with one word that told of the redemptive power of Jesus Christ and warned of the annihilation and second death in an eternal hell where the worm dieth not. The worm dieth. The worm is the mind, you see. When you go to hell, if you go to hell, you know, your mind will always be focused upon why you are there. And that you're not only going to feel the suffering, the pain, the agony, but you're going to feel in your mind why you are there. You're going to know. You're going to understand. Because you denied your Savior, Jesus Christ. You did. Today, amidst a regenerated Babylonian society, the precious Word of Almighty God has been criticized. It's been victimized. It's been ostracized. It's been gutterized. Yes, it has. And everything else you can think of that's wrong, it's been. It's been. It has. Yes. Oh, Lord God, have mercy. Faith has been compromised as Satan has been allowed to deceive the multitudes. That old devil has instructed man through our own doubt, because we don't know, we don't seem to care. But Satan knows. He sees what we do. He sees our daily living. He understands that we're vulnerable to his ways. And he goes about roaming the earth like a roaring lion, seeking whom we may devour. First, she suggested that the dialogue such as found in the King James was much too complex, really, to understand. That's what Satan did. He made it too complex, he said. Nobody can understand that. Too many thous and too many shalts. Take note that Satan, in his subtlety, did not directly attack the credibility of God's word. Oh no, he used his word the way it's written in the book, but he used it in a different sort of way and got you to question it because you can't see it or feel it. But your heart knows the difference. Your heart. Oh, Satan, in his subtlety, he didn't attack you frontally. No, he came at you from the side, but got to the inside. And first he made no reference to the very blood that had defeated him. No, not at first. No. If he could only convince man. Now think of this picture. If Satan could only convince man to simply rewrite the Bible and bring the revised doctrine down to man's level, this is what he wanted to do, see? So men could make any changes they felt may be required. And there is no change that needs to be required in God's word. I'll tell you right now. For this dubious task, he had to infiltrate the ranks of the carnal Christian and conscript an army of doubting Thomases. Doubting Thomas. I don't like that word because my name's Tom. I used to be a doubting Thomas too a long time ago, but I'm not anymore. I used to revise God's word in my mind and take the book and wonder why he can't do this or you must do that. You see, before I got saved, Satan was my editor-in-chief, the unholy revision man, you might say. First and only, the most subtle changes he made were to missions thought to be little or no consequence. Like in Mark 7:16, if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. Let's leave that out. Or in Matthew 18:11, for the Son of Man is come and to save that which was lost. We really don't have to print that part either, do we? People know it's there. They know the difference between right and wrong. And how about in Acts? Acts 8:37, where the eunuch says to Philip, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Ooh, I like that one. Everyone knows that. No point insulting their intelligence. You don't have to go out on the street and tell people, do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? And if they say to you, oh yes, I believe that, and that's as far as you get with them, we all have our ways of talking to God and reaching out to Him. I've heard so much of that. It's terrible. It's just terrible. Everyone knows that. No point in insulting our intelligence, really. The editorial butchering continues in Romans 6:24. Listen, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Don't leave out the all. And the all means all who will believe, will repent and believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. This, my friends, was only the beginning for a carefully contrived slaughtering, you might say, of God's precious word. An assault, a direct assault, frontal assault of such grammatical intensity, the very corridors of Christian theology begin to thunder with the wrath of Almighty God. Oh yes, the wrath of Almighty God. The stage is set. It's set. A full frontal attack. The enemy has breached the walls of Christendom. Oh yes. And the printing presses of the beast are working overtime. Working overtime to cause contradiction to God's word. The fanfare of error plunders through the church corridors and spills out into the Broadway of eternal damnation. Yes, it does. Eternal damnations. The NIV, the RSV, ASV, TEV, NASV, REV, and even the NKJV, the New King James Version, all the way down to Good News for Modern Man. Good News for Modern Man. The list goes on and on and on. Satan's spiritual butchers, they continue to hack away at God's unchangeable word. But they will never, never succeed. Never. Warning. Warning! Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it. Deuteronomy. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life. Revelation 22:19. Revelation. My friends, the very churches that were once the spiritual backbone of God's holy word, many of them are now as a doctrinal cesspool of compromise and hypocrisy. Sorry to say that, but it's true. The pews are no longer filled with fundamental, God-fearing revivalists, but instead temperamental, men-pleasing egotists. Many of the pulpits of our land are no more than saliva catchers for self-anointed evangelists. Self-anointed. Dare to be a Christian? Take a good hard look at God's criteria for pastorship in the Church of Jesus Christ. Take a good look. Timothy and Titus make it very clear. God's church stewards, and I refer to pastors and deacons, they must be blameless. Not soon to anger. Not a striker or brawler. Not given to filthy lucre, the husband of one wife, not a bigamist, vigilant, sober, patient, not covetous, one that ruleth his own house well. Oh, yes. One that ruleth his own house well. One that ruleth his own house well. Have you got that? If you can't rule your own house well, how can you expect to be involved or even committed to the house of Almighty God? Is there such a man? My friends, I'm afraid that the freedom many of the female gender reaps today virtually negates any possibility of any man ruling his own house well anymore. I mean that sincerely. Oh yes. Show me a virtuous, submissive, God-fearing woman. Beyond a doubt, my eyes have seen the spiritual hallmark of a Christian woman. Oh yes. I know for a fact this rare and holy vessel does exist. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Oh, the good old book. When I was a child, the physical lifeline of many a home was the familiar meat and potatoes. And the spiritual lifeline was conclusively the Word of God. Today, the meat and potatoes is still there. But the Word of God, that spiritual lifeline, I'm afraid somebody shot it full of holes. Oh, yes. Whatever happened to our Lord's precious Word? The same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. My friends, we're rapidly running out of tomorrows. And who's to blame? Who's to blame? My friends, I urge you to think. Think wholly on these things that have been told to you this day. God will not be mocked. God is holy. There is none more holy. Have you given your life to Jesus yet? Have you made that decision that will mean eternity in His presence forever and ever and ever, never to be taken away? Have you? I pray it be so. I pray it be so. Hold fast to the lifeline that leads to Calvary, for it's the only way. There is no other way. I pray God will bless you, watch over you, and if you have any doubt whatsoever, get on your knees, talk to God, tell Him you want to be holy, you want to be with Him in glory. He'll never, never turn you away. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.